manoho dravya viya tarakapyam dutva yanti apurna bhavam yadapasanaya brahman yogino malam atmanaha Tavyakriya kadakakyam Dudvayantyapuna bhavam. Please repeat. Yat of which subtle forms of the Vedas Upasanaya by the worship Brahman, O Brahman, Yoginaha, mystic sages, Malam, the contamination, Atmanaha, of the heart, Dravya, substance, Kriya, activity, Karaka, and performer, Akyam, designated as such, Dutva, cleansing away, Yanti, they achieve, Apanaha Bhavam, freedom from rebirth. Translation, no purport. By worship of this subtle form of the Vedas, O Brahmana, mystic sages cleanse their hearts of all contamination caused by impurity of substance, activity and doer, and thus they attain freedom from repeated birth and death. Next verse, related, the next few verses are all related. We'll read a series of verses. Get a picture here. Text 39. I'll read 38 again, the translation, and we'll read a few translations. By worship of this subtle form of the Vedas, O Brahmin, mystic sages cleanse their hearts of all contamination caused by impurity of substance, activity and doer, and thus they attain freedom from repeated birth and death. From that transcendental subtle vibration arose the Omkara, composed of three sounds. The Omkara has unseen contained potencies and unmanifest automatically within the purified heart. It is a representation of the absolute truth in all three of his phases. The three phases, the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personal Truth. This Omkara, automatically non-material and imperceptible, is heard by the Supersoul without his possessing material ears or any other material senses. The entire expanse of Vedic knowledge is elaborated from Omkara, which appears from the soul within the sky of the heart. It is the direct designation of the self-originating absolute truth, the Supersoul, and is the secret essence and eternal seed of all Vedic hymns. Omkar exhibited the three original sounds of the alphabet, A, U, and M, A, U, M. These three, O most eminent descendant of Bhrigu, sustain all the different threefold aspects of material existence, including the three modes of nature, the names of the Rig, Yajur, and Sama Vedas, goals known as Bhura, Bhuvar, and Svara planetary systems, and the three functional platforms called waking, consciousness, sleep, and deep sleep. From the Omkara, Lord Brahma created all the sounds of the alphabet, the vowels, consonants, semivowels, and triplets, and others, distinguished by such features as long and short measure. All-powerful Brahma made use of this collection of sounds we'll finish there. We've gone up to text 44. So tomorrow you can put 45 on the board if you wish. If you wish. We read up to 43. We didn't read 44. We read up to text 43. So most likely it's messy. You can go back if you wish. But otherwise, text 44 is tomorrow's verse. We'll continue with this understanding of transcendental sound. So we'll go back now. Today's verse, text number 38. I wish we'd had some time or inspiration to prepare, because this subject matter is extremely interesting, and there are so many references to this subject in terms of the origins and the effects of transcendental sound vibration, especially in regards to the own vibration. And Bhagavad Gita, someone can bring Bhagavad Gita. I'm going to read some things. We generally start off all of our mantras with Om, the Om vibration. Om Jnana, Om Namo Bhagavate, Namo Om. Even Hare Krishna, as you know, Hare possesses Om. Generally, maybe not seemingly always, but generally speaking, we start off Om Tat Sat, or with that, you can say, approach to the Absolute Truth, recognition of the Absolute Truth, manifest in the form of sound vibration. Let's see, in the Bhagavad Gita, Omkara, 8:11. What does Krishna say about Om in the Bhagavad Gita? Who knows? Your table. There you go. Let's come back in a minute. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, this is 8:11, who utter Omkara and who are great sages in the renowned order, entrance of the man. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I can now briefly explain to you the process by which one may obtain salvation. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating a sacred silver Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and puts his body, it will reach the eternal abode. It's clearly mentioned here that Om, the man and Lord Krishna, are not different. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om. It pervades everything. And the purified heart, as mentioned here, automatically Om. The Om vibration is automatically experienced and manifest. And it pervades everything. It's covered over in this material world. But the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is clearly recommended for this age. So if one quits his body at the end of his life chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he certainly reaches the spiritual abodes according to his practice. The devotees of Krishna enter the Krishna planet, Goloka Vrindavan. For the personalist, there are also innumerable other planets known as Vaikunthas in the spiritual sky, where the impersonalists remain in Ramayoti. One inference there, that the Maha Mantra contains the sound vibration, Om. Automatically one gets the benefits. Okay, Om, Tat Sat, Omkara, 17:23. And Krishna adds Om, 9:17, 7:8, 8:13. There are so many references in the Bhagavad Gita also, quite a few. It's 17:23 regarding Om, although we don't make it a specific point of chanting the Om and Om vibration, it's nonetheless a transcendental vibration. 17:3. everything. So I wish I had a little time to prepare Om 1723. Om Tat Sat Iti Nidesho. From the beginning of creation, the three words Om Tat Sat were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. These three symbolic representations were used by Brahmins while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. Purport to text 40, Hridayananda Maharaj writes, "The senses of a sleeping person do not function until he is awakened. Therefore, when a sleeping person is awakened by a noise, one may ask, who has heard the noise?" In other words, when we're sleeping, our senses are not awake. They don't function. So who is hearing the sound? The words Sutta Shrutre in this verse indicate that it's the Supreme Lord within the heart who hears the sound and awakens the sleeping living entities. As we heard in this verse, that the Supersoul hears the sound of Om also. The Lord's sensory activities always function on a superior level. Ultimately, all sounds vibrate within the sky. And in the internal region of the heart, there is a type of sky meant for the vibration of sacred Vedic sounds. The seed or source of all Vedic sounds is the Omkara. This is confirmed by the Vedic statement Om Ityeka Ramano Nidhi. The full elaboration of the Vedic seed sound is Srimad Bhagavatam, the greatest Vedic literature. And we see in the very beginning, Nadya Shai told the test of patience. Describes the absolute truth, and where everything is emanating from the absolute truth, the truth is transcendental sound vibration of Om. And that Omkara, we're going to read now something from the Srinamamrita about the holy name and the Om vibration. Omkar is a sound representation of the Supreme Lord. The principal word in the Vedas, Pranava Omkar, is the sound representation of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Omkar should be considered the Supreme Sound. Omkar is the reservoir of all energies of the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has in many places given importance to Omkar. Similarly, Omkar is given importance in the Atharva Veda and the Mandukya Upanishad. In his Bhagavat Sandarbha, Śrīla Jīva Goswami said, Omkar is the most confidential sound representation of the Supreme Lord. The sound representation of or name of the Supreme Lord is as good as the Supreme Lord himself. By vibrating the sound of Omkar or of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one can be delivered from the contamination of this material world. This is not a material sound vibration. By chanting material sound vibrations, we can't possibly get out of the material world. We have to receive the transcendental sound vibration and chant the transcendental sound vibration. This has the purificatory effect, it would offer the margin of Bhava Mahadabhagni and Vartan, of cleansing our heart of all the dirty things. Our heart is covered by material contamination, material desire, material attachment, and so on, as well as various types of karmic reactions in their various forms, both the bias and sinful activity, which also formulate, of course, help create desire and so on. But the purificatory effect of chanting the holy name cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together and extinguishes the fire of conditional life which we deserve from death. Sanctan movement of the congregational chanting of the holy name is the prime benediction of humanity at large, which is spread to raise the benediction movement. It's freely giving, and it's normally very austere and very eligible really to pursue this path of chanting, this transcendental sound vibrations, is made very easy in the age of Kali, through the mercy of the Lord Himself, who has appeared in this age to personally inaugurate this Sankirtan movement and distribute the sound transcendental sound vibration to one and all, even those who are unqualified or unfit. The chanting of the Om vibration is of course practiced by some, but it's not so practical in the age of Kali. It requires a tremendous amount of long attendance and austerity and control of the mind and so many other things to actually achieve or obtain the results, the transcendental results of chanting your own vibration. Even whilst chanting Hare Krishna, there are offenses to be considered whilst chanting the holy name. So because we receive the holy name through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we approach him first before we chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. By his mercy, our chanting of Hare Krishna Maha mantra can have effect, transcendental effect, although the effects remain material, not gain release from this material world. But by the mercy of the Lord Himself, He has made these sound vibrations accessible and effective for anyone to chant, even though we may not be so pure or so elevated in terms of knowledge and enunciation and so on and so forth, or even the mode of goodness. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He's made it easy, accessible, even Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada has made it accessible also. Also, the same transcendental sound vibration. Actually, Om, Srimad Bhagavatam being the transcendental pastimes of the personality of God Himself, in a sense, is the source of the Om, in terms of being non-different from Krishna. And Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, Om vibration. Sometimes it is understood that transcendental sound vibration is the flute of Krishna. He plays his flute. And when that sound vibration enters into this world, the sound is Om. Transcendental Om. In the spiritual world, it's the sound of Krishna's flute. Although in Vaikuntha, I don't know, there's no transcendental flute playing going on. But at least in Goloka Vrindavan, the sound of the flute is there. And that sound, all other sounds, basically speaking, are emanating. The same in this material world, the first sound vibration of Om, all the Vedas and all of the sounds have evolved. The alphabets, and the consonants and syllables, and all these various aspects of sound are evolved or developed by those of us who are familiar or who are actually connected with Om vibration. I've presented it in so many different ways, and all sound vibration in this universe is developed from that sound. Everything comes from the original source, and the same as sound, all sorts of sounds have come from that original sound of Om. Universal situation. But it's not recommended for people in general to concentrate on trying to become perfect by chanting this particular vibration of Om. It has to be elevated, at least fixed in the mode of goodness, to actually vibrate the Om vibration effectively. Prabhupada goes on to say, Omkar is the most confidential sound representation of the Lord. The sound representation of the name of the Supreme Lord is as good as the Supreme Lord Himself. By vibrating the sound of Omkar or of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one can be delivered from the contamination of this world. Because such vibration, transcendental sound, can deliver a conditioned soul, they are known as Tara, or deliverers. Most like mantras, their own vibration also. Called Taraka Brahmana, or Tara. That mantra which will deliver one from this material world, and can take one to Brahman, deliver one from this material world. But the Mahamantra is a little different. Omkar, generally speaking, in of itself, will not awaken, although it is no doubt representing the Super Soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead as well, will not generally awaken the impersonal relationship with God. It will not awaken the love of God. As mentioned here, it's the impersonal representation of the Absolute Truth. And most people who chant their own power or their own vibration are aspiring for that, or they reach that platform, they have to actually qualify, which is very rare. At most they reach the Brahman platform, unless they have the good fortune of coming in contact with the Vaishnava or the yogis of the Lord. Otherwise they just reach Brahman. But so that's the Taraka Brahma mantra, and the most mantras are not even that particularly here within this material world, to elevate to heaven or something. But actual mantras, Vedic mantras, are meant ultimately to liberate us from this material world. And most are directed towards the entrance into the Brahma Jyoti, or the man, in personal liberation. Whereas the Hare Krishna mantra is not the Taraka Brahma mantra, it's the Taraka Brahma mantra. It delivers the highest perfection, the level of God, Krishna Pramati Mahan. These other mantras do not. Mahamantra is Golokera Prema Dana Harinama Sankirtan. It has come from the spiritual world. Of course, all mantras, pure mantras, have come from the spiritual world, but specifically from Goloka Vrindavan. Come from Goloka Vrindavan in its original pure form. Not in the, let's say, the transformed. Transformed, I don't seem to say anymore. And Omkara. The Omkara is not the people of the spiritual world are sitting around vibrating Omkara. They're chanting the names of Krishna. Glorification of the names of Krishna. The Omkara is the impersonal sanctification. But in this world also it has a spiritual indicatory effect. It is, like everything else, this material world is covered from that. So almost in this world, or in this universe, is not generally chanted in its pure form. Mostly it's covered over. Everything in this world is wrong. The jiva is also spiritual. Everything in this world is Brahman. But covered over, so we can't recognize it. It's not revealed. But if there's pure chanting form, then of course everything is revealed. And similarly, if there's pure chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, everything is revealed within the heart, as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. It's not Nityasiddhi Krishna praying, Sadhu Kavanai. Shravanadi Shiva Chiti Kali Vidai. That little God is in the heart, but it's covered over. It's not that it's something external. It's there already, natural position, the soul is to love God. But that remembrance is covered over. So it's practicing in Vadavata Mudanam by regularly chanting the holy name carefully, but gradually those covenants can be removed. But one can actually be fruitful. The relation with Krishna is revealed in due course of time. The process is purifying our hearts. So that naturally, a dormant affection for the Supreme Lord will be awoken. Coming into actual contact. And that holy name also has to be received through the right source, the chain of disciplic succession. Even the own, you know, Brahma, through the various disciplic successions, was passed, delivered in this way. It's not something we can just pick up from anywhere. It has to be chanted and in the right way to be infused with transcendental potency. Prabhupada goes on, in the Mandukya Upanishad it is said that when Omkara is chanted, whatever is seen as material is seen perfectly as spiritual. In the spiritual world or in spiritual vision there is nothing but Omkara, or the one alternate Om. As far as the Omkara Pranava is concerned, it is considered to be the sound incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, Omkara is eternal, unlimited, transcendental, supreme and indestructible. He, Omkara, is the beginning, middle and end, and he is beginningless as well. When one understands Omkara as such, he becomes immortal. One should thus know Omkara as a representation of the Supreme situated in everyone's heart. One who understands Omkara and Vishnu as being one and the same and all-pervading never laments in the material world, nor does he remain a Shudra. Shudra means one who laments. Nature is not so much, you know, a caste division. It's the nature of the living entity. As a Shudra is lamenting due to material bodily identification. So one who knows the presence of Om and the actual nature of Om does not have anything to lament in this material world. But he knows that everything is spiritual, nothing is actually destroyed. Although he, Omkara, he has no material form, he is unlimitedly expanded, and he has unlimited form. By understanding Omkara, one can become free from the duality of the material world and attain absolute knowledge. Therefore, Omkara is the most auspicious representation of the Supreme Lord. Such is the description given by Mandukya Upanishad. One should not foolishly interpret an Upanishadic description and say that because the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot appear himself in this material world in his own form, he sends his sound representation, Omkara, instead. Due to such a false interpretation, Omkara comes to be considered something material, and consequently Omkara is misunderstood and praised as being simply an exhibition of symbol of the Lord, or symbol of the Lord. Actually, Omkara is as good or as any other incarnation of the Supreme Lord. The Lord has innumerable incarnations, and Omkara is one of them. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, amongst vibrations, I am the syllable Om. He is the syllable Om. Bhagavad Gita 9:17. This means that Omkara is non-different from Krishna. Impersonalists, however, give more importance to Omkara than that to the personality of Godhead Krishna. The fact is, however, that any transcendental representational incarnation of the Supreme Lord is non-different from him. Such an incarnational representation is as good spiritually as the Supreme Lord. Omkara is therefore the ultimate representation of all the Vedas. Indeed, the Vedic mantras or hymns have transcendental value because they are prefixed by the syllable Om. The Vaishnavas interpret Omkara as follows. By the letter O, this is interesting. Omkara. By the letter O, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is indicated. And by the letter M, the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, the living entity, is indicated. Shankara has not given such importance to the Omkara. However, importance is given in the Vedas, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata from beginning to end. Thus the glories of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of God, are declared. The interesting is in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. I don't know exactly where, whether it's the Lord discussions on the Atmaramas verse, I don't know. But that's in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. These are all quotes from Prabhupada. So we'll read that verse from Bhagavad Gita, 9:17. Krishna says here, 9:17. Vajam Pavitam Omkara. I am the syllable Om. In the Vedic mantras, the word Om, called Pranava, is a transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. Say much more than that particular verse. So when we hear that vibration Om, we can understand that although it's a sound representation, it is not different than Krishna. It is Krishna himself. It's a form, just like we say the Hare Krishna mantra. Sometimes we get asked, well, this age particularly, why doesn't the Lord appear in this age? Well, he does. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But for most people, they're not familiar with that, or even if they are, still, we see nowadays in the present stage of Kali Yuga that things are degenerating quite dramatically and becoming more and more materialistic. So why doesn't the Lord appear if he comes yada yada hi dharma siddhlani bhavati bharata? Whenever there's decline in religious principles, why doesn't he come and establish them? Well, he has come. He came as Mahaprabhu, and he's still here in a non-different form as a holy name. This holy name of the Lord is Krishna himself. So the Om vibration also is Krishna himself. But the Maha Mantra particularly, there are two kinds of understanding of Agona and Mukhya Nam. The Mukhya Nam are the very personal names of God. Agona Nam, like Om, or addresses of God and his offences and his greatnesses and so on and so forth, addressing the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Super Soul Ishvara and so on and so forth, are all not different than the Lord also, but they're not considered to be in the same bracket or the same as the Mukhyanama, which are the personal names of God. When chanting the personal names of God, one attains the personal abode of the Lord. Chanting all vibrations, Prabhupada mentions here, genuine living entities enter into the Brahma Jyoti. It's not that the devotees don't chant Om, we do chant Om as well, but with this understanding of the personal source of everything, or the personality of God Himself, is the source of that transcendental vibration, and the source of all mantras ultimately. So we chant this Om vibration, understanding of the personal aspect of God, not just the impersonal. Because most people chant it with the understanding of it. Everything is Brahman. They don't understand the problem. So here Shankaracharya didn't even distinguish particularly or discuss particularly the subject matter and how the wrong vibration indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jiva, that didn't usually distinguish. They all become one in the impersonal path. In the Vedas, the chief transcendental sound vibration, Omkar, is Krishna. Pranava Omkar is the divine substance of the Vedas. Following the Vedas means chanting the Vedic mantras, and no Vedic mantra is complete without Omkar. In the Mandukya Upanishad, Omkar is stated to be the most auspicious sound representation of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed again in the Atharva Veda. Omkar is a sound representation of the Lord, and is therefore the principal word in the Veda. In this connection, the Supreme Lord Krishna says, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, I am the syllable Om, in all the Vedic mantras. On the way to Krishna, Prabhupada says, when we chant the Vedic mantras, which begin with Om, we can also remember Krishna. Om, like Hare Krishna, is also an address to God, and Om is also Krishna. And then on the way to Krishna again, Shabda means sound, and whenever we hear any sound, we should know that it is a vibration of the original sound. The pure spiritual sound, Om or Hare Krishna, is just perverted in various ways, but behind it is the Om vibration. Whatever sound we hear in the material world is but a reflection of that original spiritual sound Om. And again, in the path of perfection, after being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of God and quits his body, he will reach the spiritual planets. Om is Omkara, is the concise form or impersonal form of the transcendental vibration. The jhana yogi should vibrate Om while remembering Krishna or Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om, but the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. So if one's chanting Om, one should remember the personal form of God, otherwise one will enter into the Brahma. In the Satya Yuga, the first millennium, all the Vedic scriptures mantras were included in one mantra, Pranava, the root of all Vedic mantras. In Satya Yuga, the only mantra was Omkara, Om Tat Sat. The same name, Omkara, is manifest in the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Unless one is a Brahmin, one cannot utter Omkara and get the desired result. But in Kali Yuga, almost everyone is a Shudra, unfit for pronouncing the Pranava, Omkara. Therefore, the Shastras have recommended the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Omkar is a mantra or Mahamantra, and Hare Krishna is also a Mahamantra. The purpose of pronouncing Omkar is to address the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And the purpose of chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra is the same. Hare, O energy of the Lord, Krishna, O Lord Krishna, Hare, O energy of the Lord, Rama, O Supreme Lord, O Supreme Enjoyer. That was the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Every Vedic mantra is called Brahma because each mantra is preceded by the Brahmakar, Aum or Omkara. For example, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. In all Vedic mantras, I am represented by Pranava or Omkara. thus chanting of the Vedic mantras beginning with Omkar is directly chanting of Krishna's name. There is no difference whether one chants Omkar or addresses Lord as Krishna, the meaning is the same. The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that in this age one chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona Skeva, Naskeva, Naskeva, Gatira Nyata. Although there is no difference between Hare Krishna, the Vedic mantras, beginning with Omkar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the leader of the spiritual movement of this age, has recommended that one chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Narada Muni said to King Yudhisthira, my dear king, in a sacred and holy place of pilgrimage, one should select a place in which to perform yoga. The place must be level and not too high or low. There one should sit very comfortably, being steady and equipoised, keeping his body straight, and thus begin to chant the Vedic pranava. Here the chanting of Omkar is recommended because in the beginning of transcendental realization, instead of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one may chant Omkar. There is no difference between the Hare Krishna mantra and Omkar, because both of them are sound representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kanava Sarvavedeshu. In all Vedic literature, the sound vibration Omkar is the beginning. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The difference between chanting Omkar and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is that the Hare Krishna mantra may be chanted without consideration of the place or the sitting arrangements recommended in the Bhagavad Gita. To practice yoga, one should go to a secluded place and should lay kusha grass on the ground, then cover it with a deer skin. The seat should not be too high or too low and should be situated in a sacred place. The Hare Krishna mantra may be chanted by anyone without consideration of place or how one sits. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has openly declared Nima Tuk Madane Nikalaha. In chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, there is no particular injunction regarding one's sitting place. The injunction Niyamatas Madanena Kalaha includes Desha Kala and Patra, place, time and the individual. Therefore anyone may chant the Hare Krishna mantra without discrimination of time and place, especially in this age of Kali. It is very difficult to find a suitable place according to the recommendation of Bhagavad Gita. The Hare Krishna mantra, however, may be chanted at any place and any time, and thus will bring results very quickly. Yet even while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one may observe regulated principles. Thus, while sitting and chanting, one may keep his body straight, and this will help one in the chanting process, otherwise one may feel sleepy. Also, chanting Hare Krishna while one's chanting home, if the mind is not fixed, and drifting away or dozing or whatever, there's no real benefit for the speaker their inability to properly pronounce the sound vibration. But the chanting of Hare Krishna, there's no hard and fast rules in chanting, and there's a benefit even if we are not ourselves so fully attentive, because the sound vibration is going on, the sound of Krishna's name is all purifying. It purifies everything and everybody around us. So it's very practical in this age, this chanting of the Maha Mantra, and not that we have to try to imitate. The process is such a usual Omkar chanting. Prabhupada Mantra was the recommended process. It's not going to be effective for most people in this age, if any, in this age of Kali. Just like we do daily worship in this age, it's not the primary activity. It's an important activity. The primary activity of this age is not daily worship, it's not chanting of these Vedic mantras, meditation mantras of Sati Yuga. It's not the performance of great sacrifices like in Treti Yuga, as we also perform sacrifices, having visits and so on. But they're not the essential process. The essential process in this age is the chanting the Maha Mantra. And everything else, even our chanting of Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya and so on, which is also transcendental, non different than the Lord. But at the same time, it is to help us. Everything is arranged by the acharyas, by the teachers, to help us to come to this point of absorption in chanting the holy names of Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj explains how the sadhana practices, regulated practices. The sadhana means that which assists or helps us to develop a taste or attraction for chanting the Maha Mantra. The Because sadhana does not help to evolve Hare Krishna, Chant Hare Krishna. It cannot be actually called sadhana. The emperor of all sadhana is but emperor, is king of the emperor. The king of all sadhana, of all practices, is a chanting. Not just a chanting, it says congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. It is the only infallible, it is the only infallible means of perfection. No other process can put in the category imitators of being infallible. But congregational chanting is the only infallible means of perfection. Lord Chaitanya, he introduced this. Lord Chaitanya said, did not introduce deity worship. He introduced the Yuga Dharma of chanting, congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna. This is the prime benediction for humanity at large. It's the main process for, say, purifying this world, purifying our hearts, the sky of our hearts, the sky around us, the ether, purifying everything as the congregation of chanting the holy name. The Yuga Dharma, although Japa, we have to perform that austerity, is given to us by our acharyas. It's not in of itself the Yuga Dharma, but it's congregation of chanting the holy name. Japa, purifying the consciousness, developing that relationship with Krishna, and so on and so forth. Serving the spiritual master's instruction. But in general, this is the way that the Lord has appeared in this age, particularly this age of Kali, not any age of Kali, but this age of Kali, that in his most personal form, his most confidential form, has appeared as a Mahamantra, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In other ages, the chanting of Hare Krishna was there, but it was not coming. Vedic secret mantra practice. In this Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya made it free and accessible to one and all. And the Hare Krishna mantra contains all the various potencies, all the various effects of all of the mantras, all the benefits to be obtained from chanting any kind, any numeral mantras, performing sacrifices, giving charity, worshipping the deity, everything. Although, come in, all these other activities God has given us to help us to become purified, to focus our attention on Krishna, and so on and so forth, to develop our relationship. Primarily, to assist in the performance of the Sankirtan Yoga, the prime activity, even distilling prasadam, and so many things in of themselves are spiritual and wonderful activities. But if you awaken within the heart of other living entities, the spirit to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is a means of deliverance and saving. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Krishna. Kalona Stream, 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 Stream. In this age of Kali, there is no other means, there is no other means, there is no other means, other than chanting of the holy names of Krishna. This is the Yuga Dharma. Now Rupa Krishna avatar has appeared in this form of man, his personal name, not even personal representation, but he's come personally. He's come personally, although Omkara is not different than the Lord. Most people recognize only the impersonal aspect. But in the form of a Hare Krishna mantra, he's come in very personal. He's come in himself, personally, non different from himself. So we should try to take this opportunity. We're associating with Krishna himself. Nama Chaitanya Krishna, Chaitanya Swarupa. It's Krishna himself. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should try to remember. And we're not just chanting a song for something or another. We're not just chanting so we can gain liberation. What if we chant Om to gain liberation? Nothing like that. We're not chanting Hare Krishna to gain liberation. We're chanting to get to associate with the Lord. We have personal association. When we chant Hare Krishna, we're personally associating with the Lord in sound form. This is the way we wake up, as mentioned in the purport, the one who's woken up. By sound vibration, it's actually the super soul that wakes us up. Otherwise, senses are sleeping. The super soul wakes us up. The mind is awakened here in a sense to arise when the alarm clock goes off. The super soul and the heart is various, no doubt. Manifest. It appeared in the form of thousand of sound vibration. All we have to do is make our conscious endeavor to hear. If we don't hear, Krishna says, if we don't hear, we will be lost. So we'll be lost otherwise. We'll fall asleep. We'll be in a material sleep. Ignorance. So we have to hear the sound vibration. The only thing that's required in this world is not to change the world, as some people think, but it's to change our perception of it. That's the Siddhanta man said, we don't need to change this world. If we have to change our perception of it, and that is changed by exposing ourselves or attempting to hear the transcendental sound vibration of Maha or Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a non hearing the sound of Krishna's name, form, and quality. This is what we have to expose ourselves to and try to hear it with as much attention as we can. We don't have to speculate. Imagine what we're going to get, where this, that, and the other. Just to hear the sound vibration again. This is the most effective process of purification of the heart, freedom from this world, and liberation, and ultimately attaining the love of God. The spirit becomes itself as his own arm. Into this world, the divine whole body, don't lose his hand, you can see, in the form of the sanctified hand, holding his hand, take hold, and come back to God. The paradigm going back to God. If we have to get aboard, get into it, absorb ourselves in time, and then just make it time to do masters, full stop, 1 hour a week, very nice, full stop. Which means Siddhahari is supposed to come to that point of 24 hours time. Every opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. Whenever we get the opportunity to perform kirtan, we have other things to do. But just understand this is really the essence. Sometimes Prabhupada said in my book, when devotee was sick, Prabhupada asked him what they were doing, and devotee said, I can't do any service. Prabhupada said, what are you doing? All I can do is chant, and Prabhupada said, that's the real service. Because you can't do it, I have to think of so many things to give you to do. I'm not purified to bring it to this point. So the real result, the fruit of our work is that we're absorbed in chanting the holy names more and more and more. And this is the remedial measure to all of our problems anyway. We have so many other things we try to solve our problems, no doubt we have to be done. Many different, let's say, support have to be there, but ultimately the only real solution is to get out of this material world, not just to try to balance things in this world. We may have to do that, certainly. Ultimately, to get out of this world, we have to chant that sound vibration of the holy names. If we practice and cultivate this chanting the holy name at the time of death, then automatically the holy name will reciprocate. And holy name will appear internally, externally, whatever, the holy name will appear there. We'll be in the presence of the holy name, be transported back to the spiritual world. Even if one doesn't, for some or another, the holy name has been vibrated or heard by any living entity, this human life is auspicious, and we'll get the opportunity in his next lifetime to continue with his devotional service. Tremendous benefit from that. Just by hearing it, even though he's not paying attention, still the benefit is there. Many times described as anyone on Sankirtan hears the holy name is eternally benefited. No matter who they are. So, Lord has appeared in his most merciful form. His mantra group. Alright, we'll finish there. This is their topic, so to speak, this Omkara vibration and song. I wish we prepared something that could have been a bit more specific. Any questions? Yes, Kimberly. How can we tell that we're progressing in our hearing of the Holy Name? Progressing in our Krishna consciousness, basically. One of the symptoms of progressing in our Krishna consciousness, you want to hear more. You know, you don't just limit it to a 1 hour. You want to hear more. You know, it's not enough. You want to hear more. The Holy Name, or the pastime of Krishna, or devotional service. You want to hear more. You want to associate with those who are hearing and chanting more. You want to give it to others more and more and more. You have less and less interest in hearing about other things, only in relationship with the Holy Name. You may hear so many things. If you're a manager or you're doing something, you hear so many things. But it's all relationship to trying to, you know, help others come towards the Holy Name. Everything starts to evolve around that. Even while chanting, even while taking prasadam, Prabhupada said we should chant the holy names. It becomes more and more and more that we'll be chanting. We'll be chanting more and more. If we're actually hearing, we'll be chanting more and more and more. As we're hearing Bhagavad Gita, we'll be speaking Bhagavad Gita more and more and more. We'll be living it, we'll be living it. It becomes a living experience, not just a mechanical application. A living experience. Here, even though the clouds may come in, the attraction towards the clouds is a good zone. How do we get home? Home. Oh, how do we get home? Is it another form of the Vedas? Yeah, it's also understood like that. The Vedas have emanated from Om, so they possess the entirety of Om. And Om itself was the reading from Prabhupada. And I'm going to read you this now. How is contained. Purposes one may obtain by pure chanting of Om will be obtained by chanting Hare Krishna. The difference being that one has to chant Om for effectual results purely. And only Brahmins, real Brahmins, can chant Om. Others cannot. And so there's not so much real benefit there. But the chanting Hare Krishna is more accessible to them all, even to persons who are. And so to be shooters because they're still on the body platform of life. The chanting of Hare Krishna is every stage, lifetime. And the chanting of Om is generally a very elevated personality. Such a yuga is an interest. Such a yuga is in goodness. Kali Yuga knows in goodness. God, but they're not. The age is so disturbed. The age that same, the same goal, the same perfection, the same purpose, and the same thing to be obtained from Shining Hare Krishna, and much more, because as we heard earlier, it's not just the Taraka, it's the Taraka from the devotees that want the love of God. It doesn't just deliver us from the material to the spiritual plane, but it actually awakens our dormant love and affection for God in our hearts. The purposes of chanting Om, perfection of chanting Om, contained Brahman, or liberation from this world, and automatically obtained by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Of course, to attain higher perfection, we also have to become pure. But anyone can chant Hare Krishna and will become pure by chanting. Unlike the Om vibration, we have to be pure first to get the effectual result. The mantra automatically purifies as we chant. Is the mantra effective in all Kali Yugas? Is it effective at any time? There are references of the Ma mantra being chanted in other ages as a Vedic mantra, but it wasn't emphasized. It's interesting. It's just, what can we say? The influences of the energies, or the modes, or the direction of the Vedas, the directions of the Acharyas, and so on and so forth, obviously influence people's practices. It's like if we're told to do this, we do that, you know. In other ages, other practices were emphasized more than the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And other Kali Yugas also, because it's a Vedic mantra, the actual Maha mantra, as we know it, was not generally chanted. Other names of generally Narayana, in other ages of Kali Yuga, have already appeared from Sri Ramana. And we also deliver the holy name, but not the names of Hare Krishna mantra, but Om Namo Narayanaya, different names of Vaikuntha. But not to say that some weren't chanting Hare Krishna, or it wasn't one of the mantras that was chanted. Usually in most ages, one of the mantras that would be chanted. There are many mantras, so we chant many mantras, but not the emphasis on Hare Krishna mantra, the public mantra. Considered to be, even in this age, until Lord Chaitanya inaugurated a Sankirtan movement, it was considered to be practically a secret mantra for the Brahmins, the Vedic mantra. But its potency is always there, chanted offenselessly. It's not different than the Lord himself. But it's not generally revealed to the people. You understand? Yes, Shri. Attachment for? Still the names of the Lord, yeah. Gauranga. In Scotland, we get everyone chanting Gauranga. And there's still benefit. Not complete benefit of the Man mantra, but still benefit is there for sure. The people are really taking. I was in Sydney last week and program at Pratapana, King's Cross, and sort of something like a Krishna fest, I guess. Maybe, I don't know, different. Mostly they were like fairly well to do people, kind of intelligent sort of intellectuals around town,
also.
And they just sit there chanting Krishna. And they go all over the city, they say 4 or 5 nights a week, some of them were telling me, they go to different kirtan groups, not us, other groups. Fair enough, they elsewhere they chant other mantras too, but they do chant the Hare Krishna mantra also. And they're going to go Jaya Jaya and Gopala Jaya Jaya, all sorts of things. There's a distinctive experience, people are experiencing the effects, even though it may not be transcendental in one sense, but they're still feeling the effects of the chanting the Maha Mantra and becoming attracted to it. There are literally all over the world so many people chanting the Maha Mantra who are not connected with ISKCON. Sure enough, they won't get the full effect unless they come in contact with a pure devotee, but they're still attracted, and it's something along their path. And many of them, naturally, they come in contact with a pure devotee. They'll come in contact. And even if they don't chant, if they simply hear, they still get tremendous benefit. And Prabhupada was asked one time about, you know, if you chant the Maha Mantra, but most of the people are atheists, what is speaking of persons are atheists. Is there any benefit? And Prabhupada said there's immense benefit. He said eventually those atheists will become theists if they can get the chance to hear the holy name. So even though they're impersonalists, if they get the chance to hear the holy name from the proper source, they'll eventually become purified if they can't chant immediately. So, different things, they like to chant Nittai Gauranga sometimes, can't benefit from that. But I find most people, they do like to chant the Maha Mantra, even though they come from impersonal. There was one boy here last night, all of an impersonal guru, now becoming very attracted to chanting Hare Krishna. Bought beads yesterday and even bought a dhoti on. Very attractive. Maha Mantra is all attractive. The point is sometimes we're it. The problem sometimes is that it's not so much the fact that others are not attracted, it's sometimes that we're not. We're not so talking, we're chanting, we have some faith, but we're not actually absorbed in it. If one's actually absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna mantra, automatically the topmost devotee is absorbed in chanting and loving devotional chanting, everyone else will chant automatically. Naturally it inspires others to chant no matter who they are. Materialist, atheist, impersonalist, Buddhist, it doesn't matter who they are, they'll chant. They don't know what they're chanting, it doesn't matter. They're hearing from the proper source, they get tremendous benefit. Even if it's not from the proper source, there's still some distant connection. Prabhupada one time was asked this question. He said, because you hear this verse, one who receives the Maha Mantra from the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects, and so on. Not the Maha Mantra, it says receives one's mantra. It doesn't actually say Maha Mantra. And refers specifically from receiving it, not from the recipient succession, but from bogus source. And Prabhupada has asked this question in referring to that, so many people are chanting the Maha Mantra, and there still are today many people chanting the Maha Mantra, they're not in ISKCON. And Prabhupada answered the question, he said, practically speaking, everyone is receiving it from us. Who else has introduced this Maha Mantra into the Western world? They may have taken it separately from us, but they've actually received it from us. Lord Chaitanya's movement is the only movement which has introduced the Maha Mantra in the world. So in one sense, although, it's offensive, you can say whatever, nonetheless, they've received it from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maybe a little distant. And for many of those people, if we become more and more absorbed in chanting, they'll become more attracted to chanting with the devotees, because it'll be so much more pleasing and beneficial in every respect. We're supposed to be the limbs or the representatives of Lord Chaitanya's kirtan, sankirtan movement. But sometimes people think of kirtan, they don't always think of us. The idea of the word kirtan has been used loosely to describe this performance of chanting various mantras and so on in public. They think sometimes of Krishna Das or Jayutal or some other personalities. Some of them are devotees, many of them are not. But they're chanting Hare Krishna and other things too. They're getting quite famous in some areas, some sectors of society. And we should also propagate massively the chanting of the holy name, but the pure chanting. So people can get pure, the benefit of their Parampara, potency of the Parampara. Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Devo. As we mentioned yesterday, we must hear the Maha Mantra from a Mahatma.